Yes, I have three tips that would help you speak from your heart when you started to write. The first one is to do a breathing exercise so that you land in your body when you begin to write. The second one is actually to do like 10 jumping jacks or 5 burpees or a little dance party to shake off the energy of the judgment. The third tip would be to actually, if you're working on the screen, to turn off the screen so that you cannot read what you're writing as you are creating it. Research shows that when we try to read and evaluate the sentence that we make as we are making it, we actually create and build up the critiquing editor. Don't get me wrong, the critiquing editor is someone you need, but you do not need that editor when you begin to write from your heart. So, turning off the screen, if that's a good space for you when you're writing on the screen, changing up the form that you're writing, so moving from screen to handwriting, or even writing with colored pencils or pencils instead of pen on paper. So, changing the material and shape, changing what you see as you write. And the other two, of course, are embodiment practices, either a dance practice or a shaking everything off, some jumping jacks, or a calming practice of settling in to write from the heart. I hope that helps.
Thank you, and welcome to a fresh air, inspired life, celebrating people who move with passion, purpose, and perseverance. I'm your host, Amanda Wise, and it is great to be here. I met today's guest at a conference, and we were quick to chat each other up when we realized we each love to write and edit. But what made me notice her in the first place was the fact that at a conference, whenever we got a free moment, she would move near a wall and stretch. I thought that was so liberating. She currently lives in Ithaca, New York, with two masters and a PhD in creative writing. She's been a professor of English and writing, written books, and tons of poetry. Plus, she currently runs her own writing service company, which we'll talk about soon. Please welcome Sarah Jeffress. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on your talk, Amanda. It is amazing to be here. I'm really grateful. I forgot that I did all those stretches during that conference.
Oh, you
Never really
did.
wanted to sit still.
Every time I looked over, I'm like, there's that girl again. She's stretching. Well, then we learn that you're a yoga instructor, and we'll get into that.
Yeah,
So
that makes sense.
I want to give people a quick just geographical background. Where did you grow up and where do you live now?
Oh my gosh. I had the pleasure, if I can say pleasure, the complicated beginnings of growing up in Southern Virginia in a small town called Colonial Williamsburg, where lots of strange people like to pretend they're British. I had the awareness of the problems of colonial history quite early on. The blessings of growing up in Virginia was that I learned quite early to think through and critique my own racial consciousness as a white woman. And as soon as I could leave Virginia, I did. There are lots of beautiful things about Virginia. Colonial Williamsburg itself is a complicated place that could use a lot of reflection. But so I went from Colonial Williamsburg to Roanoke, Virginia. I'm first in my family to go to college. From Roanoke, Virginia, I went to Japan. I loved living in Tokyo and teaching junior high school. And then I lived right outside of Tokyo in a place called Chiba. And Japan is gorgeous. And then from Japan, I ended up in Ithaca, New York. And I've kind of ping-ponged a little bit between Ithaca, New York and Burbank, California, or LA. Most recently, I am back in Ithaca, New York. Embracing that snow is another form of water. And though I'm not quite as close to the ocean as I love, I am learning to be here again in upstate New York. Grateful for the sunshine and the coffee and the quiet and the stars that you might not necessarily see in the sky in LA.
Wow, that's so cool. I had no idea you lived overseas in Japan and all that. See, I love asking these questions. It's so great. And so, in some of that time, you were a professor of English and writing. Was that fulfilling for you?
Oh, that's a great question. So when I finished my MFA at Cornell, I had a visiting faculty position, a lectureship position, and then an assistant professor. So I've never really been a full professor, in the high academic terms. But yes, I have taught writing in higher ed for over 23 years. It was incredibly fulfilling because I love helping young students learn that they can align the writer in their mind with the writer in their heart, with the writer in their hand. I love helping students use writing as an empowerment tool in an educational system that may or may not have welcomed them, and to use their creative mind to inspire possibilities. So yes, absolutely fulfilling, but has always been visiting positions or short contracts. I often teach in the summer program at Cornell. It's a bridge program as well.
Oh, cool. And do you want to talk about teaching in Japan too,
Oh my gosh.
the younger kids?
Teaching in Japan was junior high school so many years ago. It was with the JET program, which is a fantastic program. And it was before I had children of my own. So it seems so long ago. What I learned in Japan was that I learned best by writing. So I didn't at all master Japanese. I should have studied more, but my roommate in college in Virginia was Japanese. And I really have a deep respect for Buddhism and flower arranging and the respect of culture and community that exists in Japan. And it was very enlightening to be in Japan. I would not say that I loved teaching junior high school, but I did like being in Japan, and the food was, oh my God, the food was so good. I
Wow.
can't even, like, with the tea and the sushi, it's just, we don't, tea should have a different name over here because it's not quite tea unless it's, really come all the way from Japan. And it was fantastic to see the Pacific from that realm as well.
Wow. What an experience. Very cool. So now you are the founder and CEO of Write Now, WRITE Now. I love that name and that notion. Is that where you put most of your energy these days?
It is, I am super grateful to be teaching yoga at a yoga studio in town, as well as up on the hill at Cornell. And my own business is called Write Now. I created that name because everyone always says, I don't really have time to write. And I'm like, how about now? And also because I believe the arrogant assumption that we have another 24 hours in the world doesn't actually help us. And we have this moment, we have the present. And so I wanted to create a business that could use writing and yoga to help people move from sorrow to joy. Those healing modalities work quite well together because, we carry stories in our fascia, we carry the stories of our lives in our bodies. And I think we need both the practice of writing and the practice of exhaling to release those lies that hold us, but also to find the possibilities of how we might write a new story for the next day.
Oh my God, I love that. And I think
Thanks.
that is a great segue into because I want to talk about that TED talk you gave. It is so powerful. It's called Writing as a Prescription for Healing. So, for one, congrats on nailing
Oh,
it up
thanks.
on a TED stage.
Thanks.
And for two, I love the talk. It was super raw, insightful, and it offers hope through the ways you were just describing. Would you mind quickly telling our listener kind of the gist of that talk and how you hope it would help others in the realm of what you're doing?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It was a little bit ago. It was such an honor to be on the TEDx stage. And again, that was super funny, right? Because I had the training from, being in the Lisa Nichols conference and the community at MTM and the Ignite training. I really could not have succeeded in that talk had I not been practicing with Coach Rose of Rose Inspires. If you have her on your show, you totally should. She's amazing. Rose
Awesome.
Madison Jenkins. But that talk, whew, I had like planned it out, because speaking, as we know in this community, is a full body sport. So I was like all over the stage and I was ready. And I get there and they're like, stand in this circle. And I was like, what? And they were like, stand in this circle. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So literally the night before, I was changing the body movements. I'm a very embodied person. Even now, you can't see me, but I'm like talking with my hands and moving around the chair. And so I learned quickly to contain my movements to a small radius, but to still keep my voice and question to ask, is it possible to create writing circles that would empower individuals? Is it possible, what I said in that talk, to use writing as a place for healing, but even more importantly, could, which is, strange now given everything, but could institutions of power or small communities really create writing circles that use writing and yoga to help people release the sorrow, release the traumas that we're carrying, right? Like the gist of that talk is that we get up every day and carry trauma with us as if it was a lover or a best friend or a shadow we didn't want to talk about. And, we walk around pretending that it's not with us, but we buckle it up in the car and we drive it to work and then we shove it in our purse and then it comes up in burps or anxiety or over, intense reactions. And sometimes we have reactions or beliefs that really are unprocessed trauma. A mistake we make, of course, is thinking that that means we're broken. In fact, we're not. We're just working through our trauma symptoms. And so the idea of that talk was, could we use writing as a place to let some of that sorrow and trauma have a voice so that we could find strength in the rest of the day? Sort of writing out the shame, if you will.
Wow, that's amazing. I will admit, when I have really hard times in my life, I journal. I mean, when I die, people are going to find all my deepest, darkest secrets in all my journals, which are all in the same place. So
Girl,
I
me
just,
too.
I just hope that no one finds them until I'm gone.
I'm with you on that one.
So to me, I do think it's powerful. And yeah, the writing circle idea, that's a really cool way to do it too, because then you can get your ideas out. Say you're in a writing circle and everyone's writing, and then you can get your ideas out, and then you can read what you wrote if you choose. It's not like the moment it's coming out of you, it's going right into someone else's ears. So there's that opportunity to get it out and then look at it and then share it as you wish it to go farther into someone's ears. I don't know.
Nope.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of this right now. It sounds pretty great.
Completely. And really, the idea is that we're given these writing prompts and we can say anything we want to on the page. And if we choose to be witnessed in the sharing of our work, we can. But if we choose not to be, it's okay too, because the page was able to hold what we might not be able to say out of our own mouths.
Yep, and we gotta get it out of our heads.
Oh, seriously. Our head is like a,
Totally.
like, whew, my head is a cluttered up closet. So many racks and shoes.
Let's
So
get some
many
of those
things happening up there.
thoughts out of there and organize them.
Yes,
At least to be able
completely.
to look at it. Yeah,
Yes,
that's
yes.
very important. So you are also a poet. I mean, you've written so much poetry. I think I got a couple half-written poetry books somewhere, but that's okay. So, do you feel that poetry is an even more powerful means of healing through writing. Do you think that takes it to another level beyond journaling?
I do because, you know, when I start writing, I don't sit down and I'm not like, oh, now I need to write a poem. I actually just start writing. And then in my revision, in my coming back to it, if I read it aloud or if I come back to it on the page or I take what I wrote by hand and I type it out, or I take what I wrote by hand and then I write it out really big, like changing the shape or font or margins of it, either on the computer or on the page, I come to the realization in the process of revision that it could actually be a poem, or it might be the beginning of a story, or it might be the beginning of a blog, or it might be the beginning of a speech, or it might be an essay. Like I learn the genre of the thing in the process of the revision of it. And so I do think poems are compressed Polaroids. The conflicts of our heart and spirit that can teach us what we didn't know that we knew.
Wow. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Wow. I love listening to you talk about writing. I don't have
Oh my gosh,
very
thanks.
many writing friends. And
I know we need to talk more.
We really do. We really do. So you are a certified yoga teacher, and one way you help people with this is with your mat to pen sessions. You want to tell us about those?
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, so
awesome.
I love mat to pen, and here's the thing about it. The next session is starting March 16th. It's Sunday evenings from 7 to 8:30 on Zoom. It is for anyone in any body. You don't have to have done yoga before. If you've done yoga every day or you've never done yoga, you are welcome to join this community. It is a practice of using writing prompts, breath work, gentle yoga, and neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity, of course, the ability to rewire our brains and tell ourselves a story about ourselves that inspires us, that moves us, that shapes us, that challenges us, that helps us grow. So mat to pen, starting March 16th, it's a 7-week series. It is this time a series looking at loving kindness, truthfulness, nonviolence, non-grasping. And we use writing prompts and gentle yoga to really release the stories that have held us back. The last session we did on emotional intelligence, and we wrote a lot about anger and a lot about sorrow and a lot about joy. So each session, whether it's in a studio or online, has its particular focus. And the idea, of course, is that we have an experience in the world. We understand that experience, we code that experience, and then we hold on to that experience. And though no experience is left behind, we carry each one in the next day. And in yoga, in mat to pen, we move through movements to the notebook and then back to the yoga mat to find the possibility of creativity, but also to settle in and to settle into the knowing of the divine within. I'm inviting everyone to it. You are more than welcome to come. There is a link that I can share with you where people can sign up for the next series, 7-week series starting March 16th, 7 to 8:30 in the night. I do it on Sunday evenings because I think it's a nice way to begin the week. I've done it in studios. I've done it with people face to face, but right now it's an online learning community.
Yeah. So what's the link? Could you share that with us now? Should they go to your website to find that?
So funny. It's actually going to be launched today. So
okay.
Is it possible? You know, you can always go to my website, but is it possible to have me add it to this recording or send it to you later this afternoon?
Oh yeah, we can send it later this this recording goes out not today.
Yes. And then maybe you could like add it on to the very end.
Sure. Sounds great. We'll figure out a way with that. That sounds awesome. So
my friend just made the page. And so the link isn't live yet, but it's going up this evening.
That's always exciting when that happens.
Yes.
Yes.
But so, I will say, if people want to sign up for Matt to Pen, all they have to do, if they want to do it, you know, is just reach out to me via Instagram, dr.jeffress.write.now. Reach out to me via Instagram, and I'm happy to send you the link, dr.jeffress.write.now, or at sarah@sarahjeffress.com. But yes, my friend is making the link on ClickFunnels today, and it's going up this evening. So I can send that to you, Amanda, after we hop off.
Cool. Yeah. And now people know how to find you anyway for whatever they might need to find you for. That's awesome. So one thing that kind of arises in my mind when you talk about your mat to pen sessions and just, you know, healing through writing is I love to be the devil's advocate. And so I know there are people out there in the world and maybe people who listen to this podcast who have a lot of anger within themselves or just don't believe that they can make a change. So I'm curious, do you have like a specific example of maybe someone who you have helped through writing or someone who came to your mat to pen where they had that, you know, kind of anti-healing notion about themselves? They felt stuck and angry and frustrated. And do you have any examples that you could share that somebody kind of broke through that and got to the other side?
Yeah, no, that is a fantastic question. I love that question.
Thanks.
So here's the thing that I would first say to that. Oftentimes when we have a lot of emotions, whether they be anger or sorrow, we might attach or understand that underneath those anger emotions, right? Like underneath the iceberg of anger, that's really a cover for grief. That's really a cover for sadness. And when we are stuck, we might be stuck in a memory or stuck in a feeling or stuck in a belief. And one of those beliefs, of course, is that we are a lost cause. One of those beliefs, of course, is that the shame of the how we have processed the experience, that it's all our fault, the shame of it, is that shame keeps us in isolation and thinking that we're an exception, that no one can help us. And you know, Amanda, I only say this because, girl, there's some experiences I could tell you where I would say, oh, I thought definitely thought I was a lost cause. Definitely thought that there was not something that could help me. They might be able to help everyone else, but that my sorrow, my grief, my trauma was too much, right? And so I totally understand the feeling of stuckness, the feeling of anger, the feeling of believing that healing isn't possible, or even that we don't deserve healing. You hear me? That one, right?
Yeah.
Don't even deserve it. That we are not, the lie that we are not deserving of love. And so I would say that most people who come to Mat to Pen either have some love for writing or creativity or some embodiment practice, but there are some who come who feel stuck in a particular event and therefore stuck in an emotion, and that they have found after doing the writing, because we don't share it necessarily in Mat to Pen. At the end of Mat to Pen, you get a one-on-one coaching session with me where you get witnessed for what you created.
Wow.
But in the Sunday evening practice, you are just asked to write the truths based on the prompts on the page. And I have found that some people have felt they could breathe a little bit deeper. That the anger iceberg cracked. It didn't disappear entirely. right? They weren't stuck, unstuck immediately. But that after a few weeks of consistent breath work and stretching, it softened a little bit, right? The
Awesome.
embodiment practice of yoga combined with the reflective practice of writing actually creates space in the brain. And so for the person who's thinking, I'm too angry, I'm too stuck, I cannot be healed, I don't deserve healing, healing is for all those other people but me, I invite you too. You too have a place at mat to pen. Because here's the other thing. Yoga and writing also reduce our blood pressure. They help us sleep better. They also increase our circulation, right? So even if you're thinking, I'm not all into the emotional space of expansion, but you just want to sleep better, or your doctor's told you your blood pressure is too high, just come to Mat to Pen on Sunday evenings starting March 16th, because the possibility of feeling a little bit better, especially now when everything in the world is on fire and wild, when fear is the ticket we're given every day from the news, I offer a space in which breath and clarity and calmness, just for an hour, might be a new perspective. I
That
don't
is
know if that answers
awesome.
your question.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. I love that. And I love that, with those sessions, you create a support system for others. And even just if someone just wants to get started, because I know I've gone through things like that where I just thought I was going to be a victim to something forever, but it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of work every day to, you know, decide that you don't want to live that way anymore and focus on what you do want. I think if someone even just started, even just found like a cool journal in the store they were at next time and just cracked it open and started writing, maybe in the morning, maybe at night, or just took the time to breathe three deep breaths before they got out of bed and set an intention for their day. I think even just little things like that would help start them on a journey where they could move towards a more accelerated pace of healing, because now it's in their system. Now they know they want it. They've had a taste that it's working.
Right.
And yeah, just and anything like that.
Absolutely. And even if the prompt was like, what I hope for,
mm-hmm.
or tomorrow I would like, or this is what I believe I deserve about love. You
Yeah.
know?
Those are
Even
all
if it's
great.
just a little bit of dreaming,
Yeah.
right?
Because dreams are what keep me going. I'm living proof of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of
Real.
Us are. And it's amazing, which is why I keep doing these podcasts, just to show people that people who move, they know their purpose. They have a passion and nothing, they're not going to let anything stop them. This is what the world needs. And I just want to mainstream the value of it and the experience and show how many different kinds of people are doing this all over the world. So anyway, that's my little rant there. But now we're going to get, and I want to share a funny story.
Yes.
Because one time last summer, you and I had a call. When I started the Cheeky Scribe, I thought it'd be wise to have a trusted partner to outsource any editing, if my client preferred that, and I thought of you. So
oh, thank
we
you.
we were having this great rambling giddy call, and kind of like now, but when
Yes.
we started talking numbers, we had this equation like, okay, so what's 14 cents per word times 35,000 words? And the call got so quiet that we both busted out laughing, and we're like,
yes,
we don't do math. And then we just totally did this like impromptu SNL type skit about how writers can't do math. And we just totally made
That
fun
was
of
so
ourselves.
funny.
It was such a riot. So thank you for your camaraderie on that.
Oh, of course.
And I just wanted to shout out to all our writer friends out there that the number struggle is real. And, you know, we can't be good at everything. And so here we are as we are who we are, but we can be good at some things, but probably not everything. So anyway, that's a writer's downfall right there, if anybody needs to use that against us. But
and you
that's
know,
just, yeah.
oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, since then, one learns to make friends with numbers, right?
Yes.
One
Yes.
learns to make friends with math. One learns to make friends with abundance. One learns to think about projects, not just in terms of word count, but in terms of hours and effort and Zoom calls and, you know, creating the number that works best for you.
Of course. Yes. Cool. And so is there anything else you want to share with us about the important work you do, Sarah?
I'd be happy to read. I don't know if you still would like a poem. I'd be happy to read a
Oh
poem.
my gosh, I would love that. Thank you.
I guess my first question about a poem is, I'm happy to read from my, you know, my second book, which is What Enters the Mouth. I was thinking about which kinds of poems. I don't really write funny poems. They're
That's
really,
okay.
you know, sort of wild poems, but I thought maybe this one, because I'm not sure about the age of your audience, but we'll go with this one.
Okay.
It's called What Divorce Taught Me. People will not behave the way you want them to, including my children, especially them. Invisibility is the gateway to purgatory, sorrow, a choice. Thoughts are funhouse mirrors, event and destroy illusions. Not everyone loves to see what words can do and what they have to do. Some people don't see words. Bees singing in your brain will turn to ash. Light the match every day. Be both open and closed at the same time. Don't choose. Look stupid when you act out of vulnerability. Forget how to court ugly. Beauty is a weapon you can now sharpen. Be the granddaughter of the witches who couldn't be burned. Wanderlust courses through your veins. Do not settle. Gather up every self you left behind. Each and everyone will laugh.
Awesome. And I think that's great for everything we've been talking about today. That's
I think so too.
That's awesome. Wow. Wow, Sarah, thank you so much for sharing
Of
that
course.
and everything you're doing out there. It's amazing.
Thank you.
So, yes. So what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, I love cooking because
Ooh.
I like food and because I really like, you know, from the ground to the table. So I love putting wild things together, like whether that's kimchi and chocolate or peanut butter and pickles. I love sort of seeing what's in the fridge and coming up with something delicious. I really love art museums as well. And of course, different yoga practices or breathwork practices. This past week, I learned kickboxing.
Wow.
That was friggin' brilliant. I like
Wow.
one, didn't know I had so much to be mad about. I mean, I think
Oh.
I knew that, but I didn't know that I could release that kind of mad. It was really helpful, especially as a woman who's been taught she's not supposed to be mad or not really knows how to like, had to learn how to understand anger, the gift of it and the sword of it. So yeah, I learned kickboxing. I love cooking. I love art museums, singing, dancing, of course, dancing is amazing. Yeah, those are some of the things I do for fun in
Awesome.
Ithaca.
Oh, very cool. Well, do you have any wise words you'd like to leave us with?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's great. It's one of my
Yeah.
favorite questions, and it
Yeah,
always
no,
makes people
it's a,
think.
yeah. Um,
We'll give Sarah a moment to
Yeah,
think
just
about
maybe
this
just a second to
question.
think about it. Such a fantastic question. I would say that writing and creativity can, this is funny. I'm like changing my own sentence as it comes out of my mouth. Basically,
Yeah.
here's my wise words. When
Okay.
we get in touch with a creative part of our being, whether it's writing or dancing or singing or cooking or kickboxing, whatever it is that we do that's creative, we are embodying the great, the divine, right? So, from my faith practice, we are made in the image of the divine, and the divine is creative. Whatever you call the divine, I do does not matter to me. You call it Buddha, you call it Jesus, you call it God, you call it Allah, you call it Adonai, you whatever you call the divine. The divine is intensely creative, and we are made in that image, and so we are creative. So whether you think of yourself as a writer or not, there is a part of you who can imagine, who can make something new. And so I guess my wise words are, can we live more in creativity, more in curiosity, and less in judgment?
Ooh, that's great. That was actually really cool to watch you watch your own mind go like onto the page, and then you edited it as you went, and then you at the end you gave us a little poem. That was so cool to just witness that. That was so awesome. Thank
Thank
you for
you.
that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for talking us with today. I love your energy and everything you're
Oh,
doing.
thank you so much. And I was going to say, people can find me at www.sarahjeffress.com or
Yes.
Dr. Jeffress right now. And anyone who hears the podcast and wants to join Mad to Pen, I'm happy to offer you a special discount. So.
Ooh, that's awesome. Say you heard it on a Fresh Air Inspired Life.
Exactly.
Yeah, cool. Well,
Thank you
and
so much.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, dear listener. Till next time, write out WRITE out some sorrow or grief. Just get it out of your head and
Yeah.
be good to yourself. Ba 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 da 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 ba ba da ba do da da ba ba da da ba da da da. Ba ba da 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 da.